WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. There is a conventional wisdom suggesting that automation is wreaking havoc on job availability, whether in manufacturing, retail, banking, or in other industries. But a new paper authored by MIT's David Autor and Utrecht University's Anna Solomons indicates that over the past 5 decades, automation hasn't reduced the total number of jobs available in 18 advanced economies. In fact, it has helped increase total employment, including in the United States. But as indicated by writer Eric Morath, the new research also finds that automation and associated productivity enhancements has resulted in laborers taking home a smaller slice of an expanding economic pie. Here's the dynamic at work. The study found that in industries in which automation produced large productivity enhancements, the number of jobs in those sectors declined or at best held steady over a nearly 5-decade period. These industries include auto manufacturing, chemical processing, and textile production. However, the economy's ability to produce certain products more efficiently helped to lower prices, which improved purchasing power, which generated more demand and helped create more jobs in other industries. But a lot of these new jobs were in lower-wage service sector industries. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. A gathering of travel industry experts earlier this month produced considerable consensus that America is largely missing out on a global boom in tourism. International arrivals to the U.S. were down 4% during the first 9 months of 2017, according to the most recently available data. As indicated by Reuters, by comparison, international tourism arrivals worldwide were up about 7% in 2017, representing the strongest performance in 7 years based on figures from the United Nations World Tourism Organization. According to German market researcher GfK, bookings from Germany to the United States are down 20% for the 2018 summer season. Some might attribute this to rhetoric flowing from Washington, D.C., but there are other potential factors at work, including the impacts of last year's hurricane season. According to New York City's official tourism organization, it requires the spending power of 4 domestic travelers to equal the spending power of 1 international traveler. The good news is that foreign visitation to America may be set to improve. Data from Forward Keys indicate that international forward bookings to the U.S. from within the Americas over the next 6 months are up 7%. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. According to a new study by WalletHub, Americans now collectively owe more than $1 trillion in credit card debt for the first time ever. Americans added a post-Great Recession record $92 billion in credit card debt last year. Of that total, about $68 billion was added to credit card debt in the fourth quarter alone. Only 4 times over the past 3 decades have Americans spent so much money on their credit cards in a year. In each of the prior instances, the charge-off rate, which reflects balances that creditors don't believe they will ever collect, rose the following year. But for now, the charge-off rate remains near historic lows, which is inducing lenders to extend additional credit. The question is whether and when there will be a tipping point, a point at which too much credit is extended and the level of uncollectible debt begins to rise rapidly. By last year's fourth quarter, the average credit card debt per household in America stood at $8,600, which was up 6% from the same period 1 year earlier. That $8,600 average is $138 higher than the level WalletHub has identified as being sustainable. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Today, a trained human bricklayer can lay bricks far faster than the robot known as SAM, or semi-automated mason. Consequently, many bricklayers feel secure in their jobs, knowing that they can still outproduce the cutting edge of technology. But the robots may eventually win this competition. According to a survey conducted by the National Association of Home Builders, nearly two-thirds of bricklaying contractors indicate that they are struggling to find workers. And as reported by the New York Times, it can take 3 to 4 years before a person with no experience can emerge as a journeyman bricklayer. What's more, productivity, measured in this instance as how much brick wall a laborer can complete in an hour of work, isn't much better than it was 20 years ago. A bricklayer's most important tools, a trowel, a bucket, string, and a wheelbarrow, haven't changed much over the course of centuries. The robots, therefore, are poised to strike. But to date, those semi-automated masons are rare. There are only 11 of them, and they cost approximately $400,000 apiece. They can't yet do corners or curves. They also require human workers to load the brick, refill mortar, and clean up the joints of the brick they lay. But they also don't get sick, or thirsty, or tired. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. There are a lot of working mothers out there. Some of them are driving to work right now. The idea of working women has acquired widespread acceptance in America over the past two decades. But as indicated by the Wall Street Journal, there are still those who don't view such things favorably. In a recent survey conducted by the Journal and NBC News, 78% of American adults said that it is a positive development that more women have a career while they simultaneously raise children. That's up 32 percentage points since 2000, the last time this particular survey asked the question. At that time, only 46% of Americans thought that the rise in the number of working mothers was a good thing. But while the proportion of survey respondents who view working mothers positively has increased, the poll discerned no reduction in the share of women who indicate that they have experienced discrimination in the workplace over the past two decades. Despite that, there has been a notable increase in the share of working women who are their family's primary wage earner, with 49% of women indicating that they fulfill that responsibility today versus 37% in the year 2000. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu.